Okay, let's pick up with Erica Chafe. So now he has the word Shochein. Okay, so yes, we've been dealing with it's connected from the last parak, right? We was talking about the Shechina and Holach, and then at the end he had the idea of Vayelach, and as we're saying that the Shechina is Nistalekas. So now he's going to explain the Lashon Shochin, and it is the final term of the Tenuos that we've been dealing with this whole time. So he says the word Shochin is Yadua Shemashmos Pol Zehilis Gorer Lishkon. Okay. Vahu shochein be'elo neimam vayhi. So it has a meaning of so the different translations are, I mean, in the old Ibn Tibbon, it's mashmaos is hasmodas ha'omed b'mokom echad. The continuance of standing in one place. So it's important because it's not sitting. It's not, meaning say it implies some kind of choice of restricting your motion to one spot. So Amida means you have a certain readiness, but you're omed in this place. So that's shochin. You wouldn't say it about a rock. You wouldn't say it about something that doesn't have the ability to get up and go. So it's the hasmodas hamokon haomei d'mokom echad. So that's he is shochein be'elo neiman. So he has the ability to leave, but he's shochein there. So that's the yadua and the mefarsemes. Okay. So yadua and the mefarsemes. All right. Now, what's the extension? The first extension, Hamashmos shel Lishkon, he hanimtza b'mokom mesuyam masmid lishos b'oso mokom. So he says, and the Indian of Shechina b'mokom, yeah, it's interesting. So this is a little confusing. In other words, sounds like it's repetitive. The inyan hashchina b'makom hu hasmodas ha'omed makom echad. I mean, he already said that a second ago. How's your translation? Let's see. Translation is a little bit different. The Hebrew shochein, this is in what's his name, Friedlander, is, as is well known, signifies to dwell. This is the most common meaning, but dwelling in a place consists in the continued stay in a place. And it just sounds like it just repeat the same thing, general or special, meaning whether you define the specific the local place or by the more general, New York or New York City or something like that. So he says, but here's the important part: the afal pi shaya misnoeya bo below sofik. Right? It doesn't mean immobile. It doesn't mean immobilized. He's moving around. But vis-a-vis this location, he stays in the same location. He's shochein, right? He's shochein be'ilonei mamre. It's not like an invalid who's just incapable. But that's the point. Point is, it's not like it doesn't denote some incapacity of motion. No, he's dwelling, he's moving around, but he's restricting by design or by will all of his movements to one, his identification with one location. The Vayi Bishkon Yisrael. Okay, so yeah, Bar Menachem goes into his typical dikduk over here, but basically that's the point. Okay, now he's like this. That's the main meaning in the common usage, and then it's borrowed l'masha'eino bal chayim. Okay, so that now we extend it to things that are not living beings. Of al lechol inyan, Anything that remains is attached to something else. You can also use the word shchina. Okay, you can also use that term of shochin. Gam im oso dover masha, dover hu, chavre lo moko. Even if the thing that it's attached to is not a place. So we can have like a double extension. You can have the thing that is, because shochin is a relationship. It has to be shochin some with regard to something. Ilo ne mamre. Or vishkom Yisrael ba'ar tzahi. So that's the main interpretation, the initial meaning. But now we can be talking about something that's not physical, relating to something that's not a place. Okay. So for instance, Vigami Madova Eno Baal Chayim. Well, you have that. Okay. So he says, right. Oh, you mean you can have both together. Right. You have one and the other, and then you can even have both together. Shenema, Hayom Hahu Yehei Choshech, Tishkon Olov Anana. This day will be dark. The cloud will dwell upon it. So he says, the Anan is not a Baal-Chai, and the day is not a Guf. It's just a segment of time. So you see, you can extend the language of Shochein from its initial meaning of the Tenuas Baal Chai is restricted to a location, the willful restriction of emotion to a specific place, and then it can be extended to have a meaning, it can be extended to a non-living thing, like a cloud. Even related to a non-physical place, to something that's not a physical place, like a day. Okay, so what is the extent? So yeah, the governor goes through it again, but in other words, the point is it's not the anana is not a physical thing, not a bachai. The yom is not a physical place, and the Rambam is saying that's how far this language can be extended. That this day will be, it has the meaning that this day will be taken by darkness. But in terms of the Lashon, it's an extension. The Shochin is not a Baal Chai, and the place is not a Makom. But the place is the day. Yeah. What is the commonality between the original idea of Shochin and this extension? I mean, say you can extend it is one thing, but it has to be an extension. It would seem it has to have some reminiscence of the initial, of the original. Yeah, so Eov was cursing that day, right? He was cursing that day, cursing the day he was born. And like Moshe is saying, it's not really a physical cloud necessarily. It means to say the influences he was trying to, they had this idea that what? Like the influences of the day brought about his existence. Block those. The cloud is like a going to negate that those causes in the day that brought his existence, that brought him to be.
It's an association.
An association, exactly.
Like in with the regular cocaine.
That's right. And because shochein is not a when we say it's a Baal Chai and a Makom in the initial, let me say. That Avram was shochein be'elonei mamrish, that created a certain relationship. There was a qualification of the place by the man.
Can't talk about this day without thinking about the cloud.
So normally it's going to be a Baal Chai because he chooses it, and that's part of the idea. He's setting up his camp, so to speak, in this area. So he is taking it as his home. He's qualifying it as a certain with his personality, his objective, whatever that may be. So he was saying, so he says in the extension, you can also join two things in a certain manner that one qualifies the other. So he's saying the cloud should have qualified that day. It should have been a day that had no affect in it, or day that was filled, was that the causes were negated, something like that. But the point is, the lushan of shochein is an extension, because you can now qualify a non-physical entity like zman with a non-physical characteristic like he's calling the onan, whatever the onan stands for. But it indicates some kind of, it would seem, indicates some kind of qualification of the shochein and the place that that creates a certain new qualitative idea. Okay, let's see how that works out. So now he says, "Lefi hasha'ela zu." The Rambam's always it's the same formula every time, right? The main reason, the initial interpretation, the extension that's found just within regular within language, and now the application to God. So now, Lufi hasha'ela zu, yeah, but hasmoda is an important thing too, right? But hasmoda means it's not just the mikra. There's some kind of intentional connection that is the das. Hasmoda doesn't have to be, yeah. The hasmada apparently doesn't mean that it has to be permanent, right? But it means to say it's complete, not just a passing relationship. So here too, so he says, you'll have hasmada shchinaso beezen makom bo, the full davar shehismida bo. Oh, this is a little bit troubling, though. We have to figure out the Shechina and the Hashgacha. Yeah. As your go, he has Shehismida Hasmodas Shchinaso, so Hashgachaso Beezem Makom, Shehismida Bo Hashchina. Oh, the whole. Funny language, a little repetitive. But the problem is that we've said before, right? The Barbanel made the point earlier that Hashgacha doesn't really relate to a place ever, right? Wasn't that always one of his things last time? Right? Shechina relates to a place, but not Hashgacha. You don't say that Hashgacha is in this place. So he says, Re'esha Rav Asa Chalukah V'Shechina. He says, L'Shechina Le'yosa Or Nivra Muchash Roma's makom, the Omar, the whole makom shehismida bo hashchina. He tiyuchas lemakom. Let's see, is that right? Okay. Oval hashgacha shino dover gashmi lotus yaches lemakom. L'chein Omar, oh lechol dover shehismida bo hashgacha. Oh, he's me go like this. So let's stop. The makom that he had, that the Shechina is can is in and on a permanent constantly. Oh, the whole dover shesmida bo. So Shechina, he says, he relates to a place, and hashgacha to a dover. Because the Shechina is a physical or nivra, so you can say, hey, it's shochein in the place. But Hashgacha is only a Hashgacha is an active idea, is a concept, is a certain is not a physical thing. It's a certain kind of care or maintenance. So that's only in the objects of the Hashgacha. You don't say that Hashgacha is occupying an area. You could say it's manifest in these individuals. So that's what he says, Vayishkon Kavod Hashem. These are the Psukim. Vayishkon Kavod Hashem al Har Sinai. Vishachanti Bisoch B'nei Yisrael. Right. So that is going to be So those psukim is, and then he has another pasuk. Uvitzon shochnisneh. So what are these examples of? So he says like this: Yishkon kvod Hashem al Sinai, and vitzon shochnisneh. That's the Shekhinah, right? That's a place. But v'shochanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that's hakohol. So that's the Rambam's chiluk that he maintains throughout. Shechina is or nivra, or could be some type of physical thing that is associated to a place. And but hashgacha is dovak in a group, in a person, in the visual. So you can't tell from the word shvisha, from the verb vishachanti, the Rambam is saying you can't tell necessarily which one it is. You have to see the application.
Yeah, but how come they can't be where Nivra is Israel in their midst? Wherever they are, that's where.
Because he's saying, I mean, it's a good question. I was saying. He's saying, Kvodash for the Shem al Sinai, that's definitely Makom, right? And Rutzon Shochnisneh, that's also Makom. So that would have to be a physical thing. The Shechina, the physical idea of Shechina. But the question is, what about Vishochanti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael? Maybe that means the physical Shechina is associated to the place, so to speak, of wherever B'nai Yisrael are,
Whatever they're in camp.
wherever they're in camp. Right. I mean, definitely the Rambam is using that as his example of Hashgacha. Because he has two, he says one is Hashgacha and one is Shechina. What he's saying for the Rambam himself. So he says, let's see. He says, Kol mofa shel poel hazeh b'yachich l'Hashem, hu b'mishmo shel hasmodas Shechina so, klomar or anivra b'mokom mesuyam. So every expression of this verb for in reference to Hashem has the implication of the continuance of his Shechina, meaning the Ora Nivra in a specific place. Oh, Hasmodas Hashgacha al Dovar Ma, or the continuance of his providence on a specific thing.
These three, well, he has three things, right?
There is a little bit of a question of translation of the text. The way that Barbanel is reading it is like this. How does he have it in the, he like I said, like I read it before. It means Hashmodas Shchinaso o Hashgachaso. Stop. The Eze Mokom Shesmidu bo Shechina. Oh, L'chol Dover Shesmidu bo Hashgacha.
Oh,
That's the way he's reading
I
it.
mean, it's just explaining the two clauses.
Right. Let me see. How does the English have it? It is a
English
little bit
has
funny.
words.
Denotes the continuance of his divine presence or of his providence in some place. See, that he doesn't want to say, because he doesn't want to say there's a providence in the place. Right. But in either case, just to complete what we were saying before, the idea of the Shekhinah, like Yishkon Kvod Hashem al Sinai, is an indication of some kind of a relationship of Ratzon, like you're saying. Maybe that's trying to bring that in. But it is an indication of Ratzon Hashem. It's not just Stam. The Shekhinah is there. The Kvod Nivra is there. That is a manifestation of the Ratzon Hashem, which obviously is, in terms of ultimately, Hashgachas Hashem, Agave, B'nei Yisrael. So, whether you're going to parse this like the Abarbanel or not is an interesting question. But the flame shot, the way everyone else reads it, is the other one. Hasmodas Shkinaso, O Hashgachaso. So you can have an idea of makom. I mean, maybe saying, "Oh, the whole dover shesmida bo hashgacha would be the sneh," and the sneh is not a makom.
Right. The snaz is like an object that's being protected.
Right, besoch b'nei Yisrael could be maybe makom, like Yishkan Kodesh Hashem al ha'sinai. The first two would be the asmada shchina, so that's Yishkan Kodesh Hashem. Oh, hashgacha, so be'ez makom shesmidavo. That's I forged a relationship of hashgacha with this. Well, but what's the makom though? Besoch, and besoch is a makom.
Israel, in the Machane Israel.
In the Machane Israel.
You're trying to put the psukim in order, I mean.
And then the last one is olachol dovar shis mida bo hashgacha.
That's the snaz being protected from
The
getting
snaz is
burned.
not a makom.
Right. Like a body. The body.
Right. All right. Now, you could say it like that. You could say, so there's two things of makom. One is the shechina itself. That's the Or HaNivra, like he says clearly. Paul says, it is hasmada shechina or nivra. So that is definitely the idea of Yishkan Kodesh Hashem al ha-Sinai. But the question is, what's the second one? So that's the Vashanti. So why is one of them considered Hasmodas Hashkachoso Beis a Mokom Shesmidabel? That's Shochanti B'Shochanti, according to what we're thinking about. And the Sneh, which is Dovar or Hismida, Dovar Shesmidabel Hashkachoso. You could say like this. You could say that Mishochanti Besoch B'nei Yisrael is only because of the Hasmada. It's only in terms of its in terms of the general picture, and the constant and the history that you can see that there's a Shechina Besoch B'nei Yisrael. The Hashkocha Besoch B'nei Yisrael is manifest. Not in a supernatural way, but in some kind of overall success or even punishment, whatever it may be. There's a manifestation of the constancy of the Bnei Yisrael, as so to speak, the Mokom Hashgacha, as opposed to the Sneh, which is an overt instance of Hashgacha. Now, there's two kinds of manifestation of Hashgacha. One is, like I was saying before, the fire, the snez is boer be'esh. If it were not for the hashgacha, the manifestation of hashgacha in this object, it would be destroyed immediately. But B'nai Yisrael, you have to look at a longer scope or more general. No, none of the children, none of them have miscarriages. None of them have, but you can't see in a specific. You don't see in a specific instance this Jew is manifesting some supernatural thing. So the Shechina in the Hasmodas Hashgachaso Be'ezem Mokom of Vishochanti B'soch B'nei Yisrael is again like the Abravanel is saying. He's right. How do you have it? How do you have a Shechina? How do you have Hashgacha related to a place? Can't be, but it could be that there's two kinds of manifestations of Hashgacha. One would be considered that you'll say it is besoch b'nei Yisrael, meaning overall, when I examine the entirety of Klal Yisrael and history, I can see from that hashgacha, as opposed to dover ma, means this one particular thing is bucking nature, and I can therefore have a manifestation on this particular.
In other words, if you had 10,000 bushes that were not being bore but not being consumed, you might say that's the makom. So people
No,
might.
I'm saying anything that's an outward manifestation.
Oh, yeah, it's obvious.
Right.
Okay. The proof is.
Interesting question. Okay. Interesting question. Let's take the next paragraph. Next paragraph is an unusual paragraph. He says like this. You know, atamakir, im imrasam akolelis, es kol minei hapirushim, akruchim betchum zeh. So now it's like a strange paragraph. All of a sudden, the Rambam is now like just giving you some general concept over here. He says, you no doubt know, let's make the English easier, the Talmudic saying, which includes in itself all the various kinds of interpretations connected with our subject. So why is he mentioning this all of a sudden? It runs like this. The Torah speaks according to the language of man. In other words, the Rambam has been spending the past 20 some odd drachim trying to define each word and its meaning in some high philosophical way. Like, you know what I mean? And so if now he's just telling you this Maamar Chazal solves all these problems, so he could have just had this and nothing else.
Yeah, but isn't those are what he's just getting up to how you interpret the particular words in the places where they require
So
that
that's the question. In
relation.
other words, is everything that he's been saying up till now just an expression of this Maamar Chazal? So you should have started with this. That is to say, expressions which can easily be comprehended and understood by all are applied to the Creator. So his whole thing over here is he doesn't want people to misinterpret Pesukim. Right? So just say, look, it's very simple. Give a Torah question to them. We don't need to worry about all these problems.
What's the lechem b'nei Adam in each of these words that the Torah is talking in accordance with?
So he should have put it at the beginning. That's the
Right.
Barbanel. Barbanel's got 5 questions
That I
already.
hear.
Okay. Hence, the description of God by attributes implying corporeal reality in order to express his existence. So you have to use. So it's interesting the way, it's important to figure out the way he says, Divrei Torah kelashon b'nei Adam. So the Barbanel has a question. Who are these b'nei Adam? As is Chachamim, Amaratzim, everybody, like, what is b'nei Adam, right? He says, Mashmos HaDavarim SheKol Klal b'nei Adam Who sheyuchas l'Hashem Yisrael? Very interesting, Rama. He says, what does it mean, Dibur Torah kiloshon b'nei Adam? It implies that anything that that Klal b'nei Adam, generic, that man in general, I don't know exactly what it means, can understand and grab with their first thought. That's what is being attributed to God. In other words, it's not using these words in a deep interpretive way, not a hidden coded message. It means what it's trying to take, just what it sounds like in the first impression the average person gets when they hear this word. That is what is being applied to God. L'chein hu toer b'to'orim amorim al gashmus. So therefore, he's described as expressions that indicate physicality. Kidei lahoros shehu yisale. So in other words, right. So it says when we say about God certain expressions that might indicate physicality. He says that's because we have to express to the average person or to the Klal b'nei Adam that he exists. Okay, that's the meaning of the application. Mishum shehahamon eino masig bi'iyun rishon mitzius guf dafka umashe eino guf o motzi beguf motzi. So it's not trying to attribute the particular meaning of that word, but it's trying to indicate to the Klal b'nei Adam that he exists, and this is the only way that this is the meaning. This is the way to get that across. A little confusing, we'll see. He says, "V'chein kol mashu." Shlemos Yeah. So too, anything that is a perfection to us, we attribute to him. Not because we're attributing those things, but we want to indicate his perfection in every manner of perfection. And that he has nothing. No deficiency at all. Therefore, whatever the hamon, right, or masig, whatever the hamon understands to be a deficiency or a lack, is not attributed to him. So therefore, for this reason, He is not described with eating, drinking, sleeping, illness, oshek, right, some kind of corrupt behavior, or things like that. Because everybody knows that eating is a deficiency. It indicates a deficiency. Whatever they consider to be perfection, he is described by. Even though it's not really a perfection to him.
He's not lacking those perfections.
And in relation to him, Yisalah, everything that we consider to be a perfection is really an absolute imperfection, lack, deficiency. But if we would describe, if we would imagine that they were missing from him, those physical, those perfections of man, then to their minds, he would be deficient. So how about filling in some blanks here? He doesn't want to fill in too many blanks.
Well, basically,
you know, it was like chacham, alive, chai. You know,
he's
that's,
not lacking chacham,
right?
And he's not lacking chayus,
right?
So we say that he has chacham and has chayus, and that to show that he's not lacking in those perfections,
right? Now he's like this, and you know that motion is a perfection. This is where he's leading up to. This is where he's leading up to. So it's a bit of an introduction. And you know that motion is a perfection for a living creature. And it's necessary for his perfection. Because just like he needs to eat and drink, and kidei lahachlif es ma his moses, whatever that
animal
means.
Waste. That's
right?
A waste.
Okay. Kahu zokok litnua kidei lachtor es hamatoim lo. So he has to search out the things that are fitting for him and to run from that which is not. And there's no difference if you describe God with eating, drinking, or with motion. That was in truth, right? So in truth, there also motion itself is really deficiency, like eating and drinking.
Good move to get your stuff.
Right. Aval lefish shaloshon b'nei Adam, this is what you were saying before, maybe. Toma hadimyon hamoni, but because of the way man, the average man, thinks about things, so daitam, he considers eating and drinking a deficiency by God, but motion is not a deficiency in his mind. Even though af shemasha mevi alatnua eino ela as dakikos, even though motion is only necessary because of a need. So the man is a little bit of, in the man lives in a little bit of a contradictory field, and there are certain things that overtly he associates with imperfections and perfections, even though on a deeper level they're all the same. They're all really imperfections. But the Torah, that's what he's saying in the first part. He says the Torah is describing Mashi Yecholim Klal Ben Adam Lahavim Vlitvos Machshava Rishona. In other words, in the Machshava Rishona, you consider this to be a good thing.
Yeah. Something that moves versus something that doesn't. The thing
right.
Moves
so that,
is better.
Exactly. So that's like the Kuzari says. You would say, is God mobile or immobile? You know what I mean? That's the way a person thinks about it. You know what I mean?
Well, you can't think of him as a paraplegic.
Does he move or not? So you have to say he doesn't move. Right.
In the first thought.
Right. That's the marshal he gives. If you ask a guy asks you, is God alive or not? And you say not.
Right.
He would imply that he would think that he's dead.
That's worse, yeah.
So it's true. In reality, he's beyond alive, beyond emotion. But to the Loshon B'nei Adam, are you going to create in their minds an idea of an imperfection? We have to associate, we have to.
Even drinking, well, they know you're drinking because you're
right.
Hungry. Or
that's
you're
right.
Thirsty.
That's right. That's right. If you can say he's alive, he doesn't eat, that's a superpower.
Doesn't need to eat. It's like...
Right.
Yeah, probably the little mace. But it doesn't say he's dying.
Okay, so now he says, Varhucha, Shekol Dover Na, who believes Sofeg Baal Godel, easy. Anita Mechaluka. It's already been proven that anything that moves is without a doubt physical. Great, because motion is related to a physical change of place. And that means it's subject to division. Okay, that sounds interesting. But oh, Yuchach,
Subject.
the object.
Oh, because it's physical.
So he's saying that in reality, if he just stated before that he was doing a different argument for that the tenua is because of a need. But now he's saying just intrinsically tenua is a problem. Right? Because tenua implies a physical component. That's subject to division. But God is not the physical Baal Godel. Therefore, he has no motion. Because if motion means you're physical and he's not physical, then it can't be motion. Correct. If A, then B. Okay. The ain letaer oso gam kenoch. But you can't say he's resting. Mishem shame matuar kenoch. Elamasha darko Noah. It's the means you're it's the privation of motion. So you can only describe as resting someone something that normally moves. Therefore, right. That's like you have by so he says So all of these terms that indicate that are used to for the motion of living things are only attributed to God in the way that we spoke about. Because since he's described with life, yeah, so that's what the Barbanel says. That's why he has this whole thing now. That's why he has to do. That's why he only brings this in now. We should think. We'll look it over a little more next time. But basically, because he's summing up, he's concluded all of the terms of motion, and he wants you to recognize that the terms of motion themselves, in terms of the basic idea of Dibbutar and Kosme Adam, that he doesn't need to bring in. I have to see. It demands a little more of analysis, but basically he's right. He's concluded all of the terms of motion, and now he's trying to be make some diuk over here. All the expressions which imply the various modes of movement are employed with regard to God in the manner we have described in the same way as life is described to him. Although motion is an accident pertaining to living beings, and there's no doubt that without corporeality, expressions like the following could not be imagined. To descend, to ascend, to walk, to place, to stand, to surround, to sit, to dwell, to depart, to enter, to pass. Right? Sound familiar? It would have been superfluous thus to dilate on the subject were it not for the mass of the people who are accustomed to such ideas. Yeah, what does that mean? Miyutar, oh, this is important. This is an interesting line. Miyutar hoya la'arech be'inyin hazeh. He says it would have been extra or superfluous to dwell on it, to expand on this, if it wasn't for the fact that it is that the people are accustomed to this. In other words, it's an obvious point, and there's no reason to expand on it, except for the fact that people are very are you know have a are accustomed to this idea. What's that? A different lesson than this one, I think. Yeah. Right, Yisra. Gilu Deos Amon Kane. Sarach Leva'aro Lashir Lokho Atzmom Bishlemos Anushi. So he says, it has been necessary to expatiate on the subjects we've attempted for the benefit of those who are anxious to acquire perfection, to remove from them such notions as have grown up with them from the days of youth. That's what exactly means. L'figach roi levaro le'elu shenotlu es atzmom es ashlemas arnushas. What is he saying in this last paragraph? Miyutar hoya laharach bin hazeh il mole mashihudlu lo das hamon. Means say that it's really, it really is obvious. I mean, like everybody knows that motion means physicality. But so therefore it would have been unnecessary to expatiate on this.
He's saying that he could have dealt with it in one fell swoop. He already covered this. This is all should have been intuited, and it should all naturally flow from the basic premise of non-physicality thing.
Right.
But once we've shown you that we do apply these terms in some sense, so then he feels a need to go through each one and show you explicitly how they what they don't mean, even though you shouldn't have to repeat that at all, and then establishing what they actually do mean. Even though there's a, you know, similarity continuously and consistently through all of it, it's just the fact is it's very entrenched. These are very ideas are very deeply rooted, and you're gonna have a hard time fully excising them from your framework. So it just has to keep pounding it in.
Right. No, it is interesting.
What's the part he's saying he didn't need to say just this chapter or the whole thing up till now?
I think that that's a good question. I think he means on motion. I think he means about the words of motion. It's obvious. It's obvious that motion cannot really be applied to God. Because God, because motion applies physicality. Physicality, and there's no physicality by God. So all of these cannot be taken to truly apply to God. And in reality, they're a chisaron in relation to God. But he says, since people sort of like unconsciously feel it's okay to use these words by God, he had to expatiate on it. Now listen to this one line. He says, Lefikach roi levaro le'ele shenotlu al atzmom es ashlemas anushas. Therefore, it's fitting to explain them to those who took upon themselves human perfection. But listen to this. Ulahasir al yedei harchover kala, to remove through an easy expansion. Osam dimyono shav, those false impressions, those false ideas, sheheschilu etzlam bishnos anaros, that began in them in their childhood, kefisha asinu. So it's very hard to root out these ideas that you grow up accustomed to, and you never re-examine. You just apply them in their unsophisticated manner. Because I think the other ones that are more obvious.
Isn't part of the problem also it's a negation? Is that when you're dealing with rest,
right? Like a person might think, okay, you're right and all fine, but no, that sounds okay.
At least it means he's not a negative.
Right.